Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Go Vikings!
Shut up!
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Everything's a song. Just take a look around you.
Just can't go wrong.
You just can't go wrong. The possibilities may astound you. Welcome, everyone, to episode 100 of...
Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
All right.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 audience members!
Yay!
That's more than our actual listenership.
Yes. So, if anyone in the room here doesn't know what Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport is, it's a podcast we started back in late 2009 because Carrie wanted to be on a podcast but didn't want to have to do any of the work of making a podcast happen.
Well, and I didn't want any of the work of building an audience either because you are already a much more popular dementia artist than I am, and so I just wanted to get your audience to listen to my podcast.
So basically, the format was we would talk about whatever we thought of, you know, talking about that week, and then we would intersperse it by playing comedy songs that we liked, some current, some from the past that I just thought, like, oh, here's some rare thing that I don't think people have heard before or whatever.
And a big thing was also doing News of the Stupid back then.
Yes, because at that point, Devo Spice's Manic Mondays had gone on hiatus, so we asked him, could we take over the segment? So we did that for most of the, you know, first 3 years of the podcast.
And now it's time for...
Created by Devo Spice, visit devospice.com, compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove it innocent, cause I'm making soda meat to chew a criminal.
This week on News of the Stupid, we're going to turn it into a fun game. Before each story, we'll describe two people or groups of people involved in the story, and you get to guess as to which one of them is more stupid. If you're listening to this podcast with friends, feel free to place bets with each other.
Okay, who is more stupid in this story? The employees of a Krispy Kreme donut store, or the person who attempted to leave the store with $5,000 of the store's money? Let's find out. In Fayetteville, North Carolina, a Krispy Kreme donuts manager decided to put the store's cash and receipts for the day in one of the boxes they used to put the donuts in for the customers. Why did he do this? As a safeguard against theft. Guess what happened next? Right. One of the other employees who didn't know this was a routine procedure handed the box to someone who came to order donuts through the drive-thru window, who then drove off with the box of cash. Police say, as of Monday, no one has come forward to return the money. That's next week on Perfect Strangers, or just insert whatever cheesy sitcom you prefer for that last joke.
All right, who's more stupid in this story, strippers or churchgoers? Think about it. One gets paid a lot of cash for dancing, the other one believes in a magical man who lives in the sky. In Warsaw, Ohio, Pastor Bill Dunphy and his congregation from the New Beginnings Ministries Church have been protesting in front of the Foxhole Strip Club in nearby Newcastle every weekend for the past 4 years. They come armed with bullhorns, signs, and video cameras for posting customers' license plate numbers online. So, in keeping with that whole biblical eye for an eye fairness doctrine, Foxhole Strip Club owner Tommy George and some of his dancers have started going down to the New Beginnings Ministries Church on Sunday mornings and protesting them. Strippers in sexy bikinis sit in camp chairs outside the church because they are fed up with the God Squad. As a result, the number of altar boy volunteers has shot up significantly. Amen to that.
All right, who's more stupid in this story? A 7-year-old girl or county health inspectors? Okay, this one is too easy. In Portland, Oregon last month, 7-year-old Julie Murphy opened a lemonade stand in the hopes that she could raise enough money for her and her mother to go to Disneyland.
Aww,
that's adorable. Unfortunately, some soulless jackass health inspectors from Multnomah County shut down Julie's lemonade stand because she lacked a food safety license. News of the lemonade standoff went national. Portland radio station KRSK and Les Schwab Tire Centers set her up for business on a recent Friday afternoon at a tire store in suburban Milwaukee. Julie managed to make $1,838.31 in her second attempt at selling lemonade, enough to bankroll a trip to Disneyland for her and her mother. It's like the old saying goes, when life gives you lemons, make the Multnomah County health inspectors look like assholes.
Who is more stupid in this story, a flight attendant or the flight passenger who dropped some luggage on the flight attendant's head? Seems pretty obvious, doesn't it? After a flight had safely landed at Kennedy Airport in New York City, a passenger got up to remove his luggage from the overhead compartment. When flight attendant Stephen Slater approached him to inform him he was breaking the rules, the passenger's luggage fell out of the overhead compartment and hit Stephen on the head. Wait, the story doesn't end there. Being angered by the passenger, Stephen then went to the JetBlue's plane intercom and cursed out the passenger for the entire plane to hear. Concluding his rant with the phrase, "I've had it," he then, looking pleased and relieved, grabbed some beer from the galley, opened the back door of the plane, activating the inflation of the big emergency slide, and then exited the aircraft down the slide. Slater, 39, was arrested at his home in the Bell Harbor section of Queens by Port Authority of New York and New Jersey police. He is charged with criminal mischief, reckless endangerment, and trespassing, and a judge set his bail at $2,500.
And finally, who is more stupid in the following story? An intoxicated pregnant woman or a hammer? Give up? Here's a hint. It's not the hammer. Thanks to Stephanie Wilde for posting this story on her Facebook page. A La Crosse, Wisconsin woman, intoxicated and pregnant, as if being intoxicated while pregnant isn't enough to win you a medal in stupidity, decided to kick it up a notch by attempting to hold up a Taco John's restaurant armed with a hammer. Yeah, you heard me. An intoxicated pregnant woman held up a Taco John's with a hammer. On Wisconsin, on Wisconsin. Police say the 38-year-old woman told the cashier, "I want a soft shell and this is a stick-up. Give me all your money." However, the woman could not manage to get the hammer out of her pocket. The cashier pressed the restaurant's panic button and called 911 as the woman fled. Minutes later, police arrested the woman who had a blood alcohol level content more than twice the legal limit to drive. And in Wisconsin, that's saying a lot. The La Crosse Tribune reports the woman told police her roommate threatened to evict her if she didn't come up with the money for crack cocaine. I don't know what surprises me more, to find out La Crosse, Wisconsin has crack cocaine or a Taco John's.
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
I want a beef and potato burrito and an eight ball.
This has been News of the Stupid.
And, of course, we read listener comments, and, you know, we had some recurring segments, some of which has went away. One of them that we keep forgetting to ask Carrie is, what color pink are you wearing today?
I'm wearing stained pink. pink stained with orange, and Big Daddy pink on black, and coffee stain on this one. Okay, there we go. Done.
So... that's the kind of riveting stuff you could hear on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, which explains why the compilation CDs I made of clips from the show really didn't sell at all. You can still get the Best of 2012. Ow! Oh, yeah, that was another segment. Carrie hits Luke at random points when Luke isn't expecting it. Like that, with burps. There. Every time I belch, then she hits me. It's like a drinking game, except there's violence involved.
So it's just like a drinking game.
Yes, thank you, Ian.
Somebody slap Luke.
Luke Ski says, and this is the first time we've ever read Luke Ski's comment on Luke Ski's podcast, I just wanted to say that I feel getting beaten for belching in this episode was unwarranted because the belch was completely inaudible. The point of Carrie's objection to burping was based on people hearing them on the podcast. Hence, inaudible burps don't justify beatings. That is all. Well, Luke Ski, wherever you are, I just wanted, just so you know, I could hear it, and I wasn't aware that the mic didn't pick that one up.
That's why I was in shock for a minute or two, or a second or two after you did that, because I was just, like, talking, and then I stopped and, like, you know, did the inaudible or barely audible belch just to get it out of me, because it wasn't something I was trying to accentuate. I was trying to continue with my thought. So I was just, like, talking, smack, and I just looked at you, and I'm like, what the hell was that for? And I just had to compose myself for a second. You're like, no belching. I'm like, ugh.
No belching. There.
When? I didn't even belch just now.
See, you're in shock that I hit you. Why should you be in shock that I hit you?
It's so unfair that it's socially unacceptable for me to hit you back.
No, it's not.
I couldn't hit you back anyway.
Why? Is your arm broken?
No, because you're so damn dainty.
Go to hell and die, bitch!
Computer King says, wow, Carrie sure likes to beat people up, doesn't she? But she mentioned the villainous verse on the Fump Sideshow, so it's okay by me.
So if anyone else wants me to do any more plugging of your stuff so that I can have an excuse to beat Luke more, just let me know and I'll plug away.
So, yeah, anyway, in the true spirit of MarsCon, which is where we at. In the true spirit of MarsCon, I have had no time to prepare anything for this panel, so... Yes. I'll just
vibe, but I don't prepare for the podcast ever anyways.
So. Yes. So basically, I figured I would ask this general question. Anyone who has listened to the show before, are there any particular favorite moments in the history of Bad Rapport that stand out in your mind as something...
True stories from the caricature stand.
Yes, another recurring segment. True Tales of Ignorance from the Caricature Stand, which is where I talk about at my quote-unquote day job the customers that I have to deal with there who often just ask the most stupid questions or do the most stupid things, and it frustrates me so that I simply have to tell the listenership about it so that somebody can possibly derive some entertainment out of the frustration of the job I do regularly. I'm trying to think. I could look up on my phone to see it, because when something happens, I'll email myself to the Bad Rapport Gmail address and just, like, leave a note saying, like, You know, kumquats or whatever word will remind me of the story. I'll be like, oh yeah, I gotta tell that story. So I could go check to see if there's one in there. Again, like I said,
Googling.
Carrie, why don't you talk about something? What's been your favorite thing about doing the show?
Well, my favorite thing about doing the show is just strengthening my friendship with you.
Aww.
I had a funny story. Of course, now I've lost the detail, so I think the funny part is going to be gone. But a couple months ago, I was in bed with my husband Josh and my son Alex, and there was some hilarious joke about belly laugh injuries, and then Josh ruined the joke with something that was entirely unfunny, and then we came up with the concept of CPU, which stands for Comedy Prevention Unit, and I thought we could start having t-shirts that says CPU on it, like, kind of like, what's the...
The CTU?
The CTU. So, it would have been a funny story if I didn't lose all the details. Aw.
So this is sort of an ignorant story, but, It's kind of one of those, you know, things that happens, you know, all the time that, you know, just frustrates me. And this mainly happens, obviously, in the winter, because people show up in downtown Chicago, where I regularly draw, and they often have winter hats on. and it's like, you know, they sit down to get a caricature done, and they're still wearing their hat. And I say, like, oh, would you like to take your hat off? And then they're like, oh, yeah, I forgot I was wearing it. And then I'll draw them. But sometimes it's like, do you want to take your hat off? And they're like, nope. And, you know, sometimes it's like some big fuzzy toque or just like a big overly stuffed, you know, like, you know, Chicago Bears across the front with like a huge poof ball on it. And I'm like, just thinking, you know, this caricature is going to, you know, be on your wall the whole year, not just in the winter. People are going to be like, you know, why are you wearing that big ridiculous hat in this drawing? You know, it's like, I'm the only one that has the foresight to think that, you know, this, you're being immortalized here. You know, don't include stupid little things that aren't relevant or whatever. So
unless you're like a South Park character and actually do wear winter hats all
yes.
the time.
The sun, it was shining all down through the trees, whose limbs gently swayed in a warm summer breeze. The children were riding rides, playing the games. The park rang with laughter, the people were merry and gay. The day I killed all the customers, they'd done nothing wrong, and yet still they all died. Died, I, died, 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 died. They all died. They drove from all over to come stand in line. They wanted no more than to have a good time. They brought picnic lunches, stood at the front gate. No one suspected a thing until it was too late. The day I killed all the customers, screaming and dying in their own blood and gore. Stabbed them with knives. The few still remaining all baked for their lives. The roar of machine guns, the crackle of flames. I said thanks for your patronage, folks. Then I blew them away. No one left to ask for directions to the bathroom. Bathroom, yai, bathroom, yo, glathroom, a dee crap room to the bathroom. I wiped my perspiring brow off on my wrist as my employees showed up for their 1 o'clock shifts. They said, gee, it seems quiet, is everything okay? I said, take the day. Okay, the idea.
Can we take questions from audience members?
Yes, that was part of the point of all of this.
I know, but I mean, can we do it soon?
Yes, okay.
Okay. Anybody have a question? Yes, sir.
Can you tell us anything about your Indiegogo campaign? Any updates?
I guess the final number was
$902.
So we were just $198 short of goal. But being an Indiegogo campaign means that, you know, it's still a thing. And
she still gets the money that she raised up to that point, even though she didn't hit her goal. So.
That's why I went with Indiegogo instead of Kickstarter, and I'm glad I did.
I'd like to state for the record that I meant to donate to the Indiegogo proper, but I just missed, you know, I was too busy doing things.
Too busy donating your time to babysitting my son.
Yeah, so I am helping out in other ways to make it a reality. So,
I'm already working on one produced song that I performed yesterday, Almost Parent Time, featuring Wingard.
And that will be up at the Fump a week from Tuesday.
Yes, that's the plan. So that came directly from the Indiegogo money, and I don't know if I'm going to have enough money to get a second song fully produced like that. It kind of depends on how much Almost Parent Time ends up costing for the final tally, and, you know, I may, you know, just find a different person to help me with a second song, like, you know, someone who's cheaper than Bob Emmett. all the contributors are still going to get all of your perks, and I've got bags full of pink food ready to go, and and Josh has some song ideas ready to rattle off. So it's still a thing. It's still happening. All the perks are still going to go out.
Who watched the video for the Indiegogo campaign of hers? Okay, so it was the plan that I basically went to bed, and the plan was I bring my video camera over to her place, and we just film a quick thing of her talking, because that's the way you do it with Indiegogo or any of these campaigns, is just usually just straight looking into the camera. Hi, my name is blah blah. I'm doing blah blah. I want to raise some money. So that's when I went to bed. When I woke up in the morning, I got a text from her. We're doing this as a Wayne's World parody, and I'm like. So I then, you know, went to the basement to attempt to find all of the Wayne's World-ish prop and costume accessories as I could find, so that when we went over there, you know, I could help her finish writing up her script so that we could, you know, create what we ended up creating. So it was, you know, a kind of, you know, very quick collaborative on the fly thing that got thrown together. But I
thought it turned out well. Thank you. It's one of those things that popped into my head when I was only half awake, half asleep. I'm sure most of you know that's like when one of your most creative times a day, when you're half awake, half asleep, and it just popped into my head. Boom! It's Wayne's World done. So.
Because Wayne's World is like one of your biggest comedy influences or something, right?
Possibly the biggest. I mean, it's a huge thing in my life, so.
We're in the basement.
So any other questions at this time?
No, I was just giving a thumbs up.
Oh, okay. All right.
What's on anything in the future? What are you working on for songs?
I have a new album coming out in August, with the target release being Gen Con Indie, as usual. My plan is that Fake Adult, When You Wish Upon a Death Star, and the Logan medley will be on it. The rest of the album needs to be created. So that's basically, I mean, obviously I'm going to be helping with FumpFest, and there will be other things going on in my life, but that's going
to be... Babysitting once or twice a week.
Yes. But creatively, I basically want to come up with... I don't want to necessarily say thing a week like Jonathan Colton, but I want to come up with, a period of time...
Maybe once every 2 weeks or something like
that. Yeah, I want to look at exactly how much time there is between, when MarsCon ends and when the album needs to be sent to the printers, and then divide that by a certain number, and so for each of that increment of time, I'm going to create a new, write and record at least a demo of a new song, so that when it gets to be July, I'll have a whole bunch of songs to listen to and say, which of these seem like they work best as a cohesive album, so that the album is more than just, here's every song I put out in the FUMP since the last time I did an album. And something else I'm considering doing is, I'm trying to create some guidelines for myself, but they aren't guidelines. They can be broken whenever I feel it makes the most sense to break them. But I am considering, everyone else at the FUMP is kind of like, oh yes, here's a new song, here's a new song, here's a new song. I'm considering doing all these songs and not releasing any of them at the FUMP until the album comes out in August. And then that way, I could just put out a song a month at the FUMP for the coming months after that. Not literally the whole album, but...
It's not a bad idea, as long as they're not super timely songs.
That's the thing with the whole, new paradigm of media, and, you gotta put all your albums available for free to listen to, up on the internet, immediately, blah, blah, blah. And I just kind of like the old school aesthetic of, what if I put out an album... And Ken comes to Gen Con, and he buys that album, and other than those three songs I mentioned, there's a whole rest of an album he's never heard before. And he gets to experience hearing the whole comedy album, other than those couple of singles. He gets to hear a whole comedy album full of new material by me that this is him experiencing the whole shebang at the first time. It reminds me of when a new Weird Al album would come out back in the late 80s, early 90s, and there was no internet. I had no clue what was going to be on that album. So it was such a wonderful, joyous experience to be like, oh, and I got to experience the material that Al created in the way he wanted me to experience it and get the full maximum comedy and enjoyment potential out of it. So I at least for this album, I'm very tempted to do that and be old school and be like, all right, here's the first step of the next chapter of Luke's music experience, and boom, here's a whole bunch of songs, and the other advantage of that is after the album's been out for a month or so, I could do a quick poll amongst my fans and find out which songs are the most popular. Things like the Mad Music Dementia Top 20 are good indicators of what songs of mine are popular amongst the fans. So that way I can be like, oh, okay, well then that track should be my FUMP for September, and that track should be my FUMP for October, etc.
And to answer the question for me, I'm working on Almost Parent Time, and I'm recording a parody of a Madrigal acapella, and I want to start doing a lot more acapella so that I don't have to depend on anyone to make the music for me or to mess around with making the music. And as far as comedy music goes, that's about all I got on the tap that I know of, but we'll be doing a lot more to get out seeing all funny jokes in the next 3 months.
Was an old west town called DementiaRadio.org. They had a lovely stream, a main street saloon, and a morgue. When one day came a stranger round a neck of broken noose, it's the infamous crazed DJ from Tewksbury, Massachusetts. down at the Main Street Saloon. Sheriff Bill addressed the town. He told them they were all the fastest disc jockeys around. When suddenly burst in a man to discredit that claim. The room fell silent, then Deputy Amy spoke his name. His name is Wildcard. His name is Wildcard. His name is Wildcard. His name is Wildcard. Wildcard. Yeah! Then Bill announced a bounty with a voice as loud as thunder. I'll give a sack of gold to who can put him 6 feet under. Whatever were his motives, we don't know and are remiss. It's just the kind of thing that happens in a song like this. Both lawmen said, what's up, but didn't end their articles. Cause Sheriff Bill and Deputy Annie were blasted into particles. Trav and Christie left the bar with plate glass window crashes. When a gun was drawn by Phoenix Wildcard, shot her into ashes. Byron's last words were, this fun zone sure isn't a fun day. Got Tuesday with a shotgun, blew him clear back to last Monday. Almighty Nate Boy then attacked with his ranting and raving. When Wildcard was all done with him, he threw him to a grave in.
What kind of grammar is that?
Next madman, he went on the loose with cover fire by sin. But Wildcard just got him committed to the loony bin. Making a moonbeam ass, and would you like to have a three-way? Saw through their trick and threw them in the well with a big yay! That Wildcard, he broke all the man bones that were break man's ease. The remains of Chris Mezzalesto looked just like cream cheese. Blacksmith took a horseshoe to the head and he was bumming. Ironically, Lady Omniscience never saw it coming. When the smoke had cleared, the sight was really something awful. The only one he hadn't murdered was old man Chris Waffle. With all the town deceased, he said to Wildcard with such sadness, this was an all-you-can-eat buffet of musical madness. They all snapped back to life when Wildcard waved just like a wand. I obtained mystic powers from a blind wolf from beyond. Said Wildcard, grab that sack of gold, pack up and venture forth. We're gonna start a wagon train and journey way up north. And go to MarsCon. We'll go to MarsCon. We'll go to MarsCon. We'll go to MarsCon. MarsCon.
We're starting an adventure.
Moral of the story, if this song has any point, is if you walk in cocky acting like you own the joint, before you shout out, I'm the greatest DJ in the land, just like a game of poker, you best check, make sure your hand don't have a wild card. His name is Wild Card. His name is Wild Card. His name is Wild Card. Wild Card.
Oh, Cornflake has a question.
Hello, I love the bad report.
Yay! That was the best question ever.
I forgot to phrase it in the form of a question. Do I love the bad report? Yes, I love the bad report. No, I answered it. So if you had your choice to record your podcast, and your choices were a really well decked out genie's lamp on the inside, or a treehouse equipped with vines that you could swing around on, which would you pick?
Treehouse.
That was so easy.
Next question. No, it's like there's a joke that I think Matt Myra of The Nerdist wrote about the difference between America and Canada, and it was like Canada is what happens when you take all the ideals that America was founded on and then implement them correctly. So to me, the Flopcast is when you take all the ideals that Bad Rapport was founded on and implement them correctly. So,
we love if, you too.
Oh, what?
Drink.
This next clip sounds really shitty, like sound quality wise, but it was too hilarious not to include. It's not too long, so just hang in there, everybody. Here it is now.
So is this the What Has Carrie been up to lately?
Sure.
I have a human in me!
Yay!
You got a human in me. You got a human in me. Just a penis inside your vagina now.
And they locked Randy Newman away.
You have broken Josh. I will now never be able to disassociate fatherhood from Randy Newman. Thank you.
By the way, for the benefit of the listener at home that isn't here, it is Sunday morning and we are all tired.
Yes. I went to bed at 4 a.m. and then got up at 8:45 a.m. for Dementia Water Aerobics with Cornflake.
Yes.
Then I recorded an interview with Meet Morp Studios for the Dr. Demento documentary, and then I came here.
This is one of those situations where having a toddler means I have had more sleep than my friends, rather than the usual less. But so. Yeah, everyone in the room is tired. That I know of. Unless somebody's holding out on me. Okay.
I can't feel my face.
Thanks. I can't feel your face either.
Yeah. Feel my face for me.
Okay. Not you, Mikey. Not you, Ben.
Is it a fuzzy face?
Oh, no.
Not bad stage.
What? Look at me. Look at me.
Is it a fuzzy Ian face or a smooth Ian face?
It is a fuzzy Ian face, but that's kind of on purpose because growing beard.
Yes. My Josh started growing facial hair off of his chin for the same reason that you do, so that he can have the appearance of a chin. That's why Josh is walking around with what we call his chin shit.
I call it chin pubes.
Chin pubes. There you go.
That's dreamy.
They do start growing at the same time.
Yep, that's true.
We need to have another mic out in the audience so we don't get enough of these things lost.
Chinderwear from D13.
Chinderwear. I hadn't thought of chinderwear in many years.
That was one of Carrie's original fandoms, was Mystery Science Theater 3000.
That was my original fandom.
That was your joint.
Yep.
I thought Joel specifically was your original fandom.
It was just MST3K and Joel. It was, yeah. So, I was a big Joel girl. I was the original Joel girl, in a way. Joel fangirl. Yeah, he's so dreamy. He's not really dreamy anymore.
Joel, I hate movies where the men wear shorter skirts than the women.
Boy, don't you know it? I can just imagine a common scene from the days of ancient Greece. Oh, hi, Hercules, have a seat. No!
You are so right, little Eddie, buddy. Hey, Cambot, cue up the music. That's why we put together a little musical presentation honoring one of our favorite garments. It's a little thing we like to call pants.
Pants.
Pants. Sing the praises of pants.
Nothing better shows my taste than what I wear below my waist.
Say, pants.
Pants. Sing the praises of pants.
They help me suck in my gut. They always cover up my butt. Oh, pants.
Pants. Sing the praises of pants. Wear them and you're a cool guy as long as you zip up your fly.
Zip pants! Pants!
Sing the praises of pants.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Consider the pants. You know, the Pant Association urges you to wear your pants at least 3 times a day.
The great men of our time have all worn pants. Roosevelt, Churchill, De Gaulle, Gandhi.
Well, almost all of them.
Dolphins, one of the smartest mammals on Earth. Do they wear pants? No, but they wish they did. That's how smart they are.
What keeps our legs all warm and hot?
Pants.
What prevents a buffalo shot?
Pants. What do they got that I ain't got?
Pants.
Oh, you can say that again, then.
Huh? So I'm willing to take more questions, but I wanted to go back to the whole, you know, ignorant stores thing, because this ties into that. This is kind of like, you know, another segment we used to do called Luke rants about something his brain won't shut up about, you know, et cetera,
yeah.
Or something. So there, and maybe this is another sign of, you know, me turning 40 and becoming a grumpy, bitter old man. But to me, growing up, there was, you know, a social contract when it came to the wearing of headphones in public. And it was a lot easier back in the day because you had the metal strip over your head and the big Nerf balls on your ears. So, oh, look, that person 40 yards away from me is wearing headphones, and that's very obvious. Now we have the earbuds that go in, so, but they're usually colored white, so when, you have to be closer to a person, but you can still see that they're wearing headphones and listening to it. So, oh, look, there's Mikey Mason.
Doing that finger, just saying.
Yes, exactly.
I was listening to a really good podcast.
Oh! Oh.
Oh.
thank you, yeah, Emmy.
He was listening.
And Mikey Mason got slapped by Emmy.
Episode 99.
By the way, for those of you who saw the cartoons I did for this year, Mikey Mason's cartoon is in the H.G. Wells Time Machine pouring beer into the fuel tank because he has a podcast called Beer Powered Time Machine. So yeah, that's what that was about. Anyway, headphones. So I just kind of feel like our nation has lost the ability to, when you walk up to someone and you see that they are obviously wearing headphones, it is your job to, like, either do a little hand wave or tap them on the shoulder and get their attention so that they go, oh, this person needs to talk to me. I will take off my headphones and then say yes, and then the conversation starts. It just frustrates me that people... Okay, here's where the reason why I texted this to myself. I was at Ed DeBevick's drawing caricatures and stuff, and there's a new woman there that does balloon animals. I don't know what happened to the old guy who does balloon animals, but new balloon animal woman is there, and I've talked to her several times. And I was sitting there at my desk, and I was either writing in my notebook or drawing something, you know, some artwork for some important reason, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden I realized, like, I get that, you know, the force, you know, sensation of, is there somebody, like, looking at me or something? And then I look up, and I look at her, and she is in mid-sentence. She's been talking to me for probably, like, 60 seconds or so. You know, it is like, it's your job to get my attention and say, hey, I'm talking to you if you want to talk to me. It just frustrates me so much. I know I take dumb things too personally, but I just, like, you're being disrespectful to me. You're not, it's like, I'm in my own little space here listening to music.
I don't think she's being disrespectful. I think she's just being dumb.
Yeah, So I don't know. I just kind of feel like, the current social contract should be, if you don't get somebody's attention who's wearing headphones to get them to take off their headphones to pay attention properly to what you're saying, then you're not allowed to get mad at them if they didn't hear a word you said.
Yeah.
You know, then that's on you. That's your fault. That's not the fault of the headphone wearer.
Yeah.
It's on the headphone wearee to...
I got that a lot when I worked at my cubicle job for almost 8 years and was wearing headphones for 90% of the time, so...
Cubes are the worst because you walk into
the
cube and they are facing away from you.
Yeah.
And depending on how they're facing, you walk in and you go, oh, hi, I need to talk to you about, and all of a sudden they turn around because they got their phone.
Yeah.
And that's like, yeah. Not, you know, there's no place really to knock.
I don't really miss the cubicle farm. I was having dreams about my cubicle farm every night when I first quit. I started dreaming about it every single night. Like, my brain and body were like, why aren't you at work? What are you doing?
You know how many times I've responded to people talking without realizing they had a Bluetooth in one ear?
Yeah, the Bluetooths are the worst for that. Are they called Bluetooths or blue teeth? Blue's teeth.
And what he said about Bluetooths, you know, that it's kind of weird when people walk around public and you think they're talking to themselves.
Yeah.
Because you don't realize that they have that, because I had that happen once.
Then you run into the homeless guy who is talking to himself.
Yeah. and you thought he was wearing a Bluetooth.
And you say, Earl, shut up.
Ago there was a man named Bill. The amount of ketchup he ate would make normal folks ill. One day he made a friend named Moonbeam. She watched Clone High and her pink hair was extreme. They both love music that's pulling your leg and think Red Dwarf is funnier than Smeg. So they announced all Charles and Destiny. Here's our podcast, The Pod of Destiny!
It's The Pod of Destiny!
Will they fight crime like a vigilante or just bum around Ypsilanti?
It's The Pod
They'll drive a golf cart through a field of shrubs while recasting Rocky Horror with the actors from Scrubs. Their Mad Libs are as strange as you can get. Just don't mess with their green screen or their tiny net. They'll have a bonfire if you bring a torch, or maybe hang out on the bacon porch. Each week Moonbeam will recommend something new. Just don't do anything that she wouldn't do. It's the pot of destiny. He's got the sperm, she's got the eggs, and they both got wood out here legs. It's the pot of destiny. Will they eat some pie or stop a war? My guess to you is good as your guess to me. It's the pot of destiny. Edition of the Pod of Destiny with your hosts, Blasted Bill and Moonbeam. What's our destination of destiny today?
So, can we go back to question?
Yeah.
Bill!
Blasted Bill!
What the Bill?
Oh, wait, Bill has to give us an update on the on a special Pod of Destiny project if he's willing to. Spill some beans at this time. Are you?
So we can get the information out before this.
You talking about the trailer?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we finally have the trailer done for the next video podcast.
Yay! Woo!
So at some point today, if people want to watch it, I have it on my laptop. And so it's going to take a lot longer to actually finish making the actual video, but I have a machine that can actually edit the edit the video without stalling for hours and upon time.
That's not the one that was recorded years ago, was
yes.
it?
Yes.
Was Alex alive
Alex
yet?
Alex was not born
yeah.
yet.
Actual Alex, yeah, we have Ferris as a little teeny tiny baby, and he's going to be in it. And April was supposed to edit it, and life happened, and she stopped editing it. I have to start over from scratch. She doesn't even have her files anymore.
Oh, wow.
But I have the trailer done, so we're going to release the trailer. And I make no promises whatsoever, but we hope to have the final product ready for FunFest.
Yay.
Wow.
That sounds like a good goal. Should we try to get another video podcast out by FunFest?
Video podcast.
Puppets, puppets, puppets.
Oh, wait. So those of you who saw my concert saw me perform I'd Buy That for a Dollar with Scooter Picnic featuring Lindsay Smith. So Kyle messaged me saying, because the Lindsay Smith verse came from me performing at Bob Matthews' house party on his birthday, and because Ian wasn't there, so we had to have someone do the second verse. So he wrote a verse for Lindsay about herself. So Kyle messages me like a week or two ago. Hey, it's TV's Kyle.
Yeah.
Speak of the devil.
Special across the hall.
So he messaged me saying, hey, we should do an extended version of I'd Buy That for a Dollar so that we can have, you know, Lindsay's verse worked into the other version of the song, so the song has four verses. And I'm like, I don't really have time to make a Lindsay puppet and film a whole puppet segment of her song.
And Kyle's
like,
point is, when is Carrie going to get a verse?
Can I say it in the tone in which I typed it?
Yes.
Turns out, wasn't asking you to.
That's how I was going to deliver that line.
Good.
So,
but yeah, Lindsay and Carrie were credited in the song from the very start. But now
yeah.
Lindsay actually has a verse.
I want a verse too.
I want a verse. I want a podcast.
You should make a new version.
Yes, Royal Cat is here for episode 100. You.
One of the cool people too.
You're not.
Oh. You want a pony? Oh, okay.
Devo Spice shows up. Now I'm in this too.
I'm having a feeling that Carrie gets a verse is probably going to involve Joel.
I doubt it.
No.
All right, how about
Joel is part of my past.
Younger Joel that's
no, here's Carrie's verse about the best day she ever had. I woke up and someone babysitted Alex and I get to go back to sleep. That's the verse. I'd buy that for a dollar.
That does sound like the best day I could ever dream of.
Luke, that's the wettest you've ever wrapped.
It was the best day.
So, oh, hey, Mikey Mason reference. How about we get to comments?
Okay. See, I love how I just show up and everything's already done for me. In fact, I don't even show up because I don't own my own car yet, so Luke comes and picks me up. So... He has to do everything.
This is so much like some kind of, you know, aristocracy, you know, European bullshit. You will create the podcast. You will edit the sounds. You will write the news articles. Okay, you'll just meet me there. No, you shall bring your carriage and pick me up. Bring me to the place of recording the podcast. And then when you are done, you will take me to eat. And then to choir practice.
Or home, depending on the day. As long as it's a matriarchy, I'm happy with it.
All right, so...
Are we already up to our song number two?
Our song number two, which is... Yeah. So, that's that segment. We're doing four songs this week because.
Because Luke chose all the songs without consulting me, and I wanted a song in there.
I want a song in there! You cannot choose all of the songs! You will only choose songs that I approve of, and you must get me a sandwich.
That's lovely.
If you go back to the entry for episode one of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, I believe we have the link on that entry.
I believe we have the link on the entry for this episode.
You will put the links to the things that I mention in the episodes after I leave.
Why are you doing that voice over and over?
I don't know.
Is that your, what is it, inner monologue, inner...
No, that's my aristocratical impression of you commanding me to do things in your matriarchal society. So when I do that voice, I'm impressed.
You know, as long as you do them, I don't care how much you mock them. Should we do a Let's Call Ken segment?
Sure.
All right, everybody. Every once in a while, every now and again, ring, hello, let's call Ken. Ding. Ken, get your ass up here.
No, he's calling him.
He's calling him.
Oh! That's ridiculous! I am gobsmacked!
Hi, Ken, how are you doing?
Hi.
I can see that you're about 12 feet away from me. How do you feel having Tom Rockwell's face on your chest?
Oh, crap, I do.
At least he's wearing clothes.
Tom Rockwell's
cat. I think the cat is a little asleep as the people in this room. You know, if you're wearing clothes, that's all you can do.
Yeah, I can still feel my face. I can't feel everything else.
Okay. Well, thank you for being on the show, Ken.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
15 minutes. Bye. TJ Miller. 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 TJ Miller.
I'm always second best, like Melissa Etheridge, I'm usually in a vest. I'm like Home Depot, if I can't flow, there's Hispanics out front, ready to go. I'm like Southwest, you're free to move around, but the only place I'm going is D-Town. I'm like Mr. Clean, I appear out of nowhere, Jeff Tampa downtown, subtle, no hair. I'm like FEMA, I always come late. I'm like Puerto Rico. I'm not really a state. I'm like Donald Duck. You can't understand a word. I'm dangerous and friendly to kids. Call me Notorious B.I.G. Bird. I'm like Maury Povich. I make a living off exploitation. I'm like Cuban. Sometimes I mix myself up with Haitians. I'm like Sarah Palin. I'm the scum of the earth. I'm like Jaden Smith. I was set since birth. I'm like my mom's friend, Allison Galansky. When I have dinner parties, I don't invite me. I'm like Dave Matthews. My fans are all tools. I'm like cricket, y'all. I don't quite understand the rules. I'm like an overweight advice columnist, hunter, director of photography. I shot Dear Flabby. It's a documentary. It actually won Best Picture at Sundance and South by Northeast. We submitted to Cannes, but it didn't take. I'm like a claw machine. You usually don't win. I'm like all that's evil and not real. You can call me Sin. I'm like a clown without makeup, still kind of scary. I'm like a Scrabble dictionary, cause I'm useless, but with a great vocabulary. I'm confusing, like when a girl named Mary gets married. I'm like Gary Coleman, it didn't end up so great. I'm like pornography, I use me to masturbate. Flight attendant to your phone, I'll get you turned off. I'm like a creepy doctor, they'll turn your head when you cough. I'm like a butterface, cause I have margarine on my face. I'm like China in a bull shop, I'm still out of place. I'm like cryogenics, no one really knows exactly what I am or if it extends one's own life. It's probably just science fiction to help people stave off their fear of mortality. You know, I'm like that. I'm like Kevin Harbutton. No one's ever heard of me. I'm an annoying phenomenon. I'm like Glee. I'm like LA, cause I take my time to crush a soul. I'm like New York City. I'm already full. I'm like Richard Nixon, except I'm a crook, like a blind person with audio tape.
I don't do it by the book.
I'm like King Kong, cause I sweat a lot. I mean, nobody ever talks about it, but he probably sweats a lot. I'm like Q-Tip. I didn't make it fucking rhyme for real, but yo, technically, I'm not made of steel. I'm mostly water. I'm mostly water. Did you know the human body is almost 97% water? I mean, it's like entirely water. I'm like Cali Swag. I'm a one-hit wonder. I'm like a cold hit without mass appeal. I'm 6 feet under. I'm like glasses. Since July, I've been out of fashion. I'm the cultural elite. I'm the last intellectual bastion. I'm like Elvis Presley because I stole that shit. I'm like Charlie Parker because I'm that bird shit. Yo, riffin's in my blood and it's not about to clot. Improvised like the sun, all important and fucking hot. I'm like a flasher in the cold. I always wear two coats. I'm like Angela Lansbury. I wrote Murder, She Wrote. I'm like Miss Doubtfire, looking good in a wig. I'm like the farmer from Babe. That'll do, pig. 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 Oh, boys. Oh, boys. Oh, boys. Boys. That'll do, pig. That'll do. Oh, that boys.
By the way, can I just have everyone in the whole room do an okay for me, please?
Okay.
Luke did a 10-minute, for those of you that don't listen, he went on a 10-minute rant one day bitching at me because I say okay, and so I just need
it
to
wasn't
do
a 10-minute rant.
It was at least five.
I was. It's like, you know, she was the one who had Ken do a chart of all of her verbal tics, the time she says and things like that, and then he posted it online. So I think added to that list would have been how many times she went okay, because it's quite a
That's
damn lot.
That's not a verbal tic. It's a hilarious joke.
Funny jokes.
Well, you know what I say to that? Enough comedy jokes. Chris Mezzalesta, ladies and gentlemen. The voice at the opening of every episode of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, and the voice of everything else we ask him to do all the time because we're
forever
jerks,
yeah,
and we never pay him for all the hard work he does.
I'm gonna be a Texan pretty soon. Gonna get more purple.
Oh, wait, Chris, come over here. Come closer to the mic. I want you to describe what happened at water aerobics this morning when we were up on the pool and up against the wall, and the instructions Cornflake gave us was to move to the left and then move to the right. So, well, let's just recreate it. Cornflake, say,
All right, everybody in the wall, and then you're going to everybody lean to the left.
Oh, that's much better. Okay.
And everybody lean to the right.
Oh, no, that's Fox News.
All right, lean to the left.
Oh, I feel better, MSNBC.
And back to the right.
Oh, God, I see Sean Hannity. Oh, thank you, Rachel. Oh. Oh, God, I see Ann Coulter. Run away.
Okay.
That's the kind of fun you can have at MarsCon when you come to MarsCon for the MarsCon Dementia Track at MarsCon. Fuck you, Devo Spice.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap.
So, it occurred to me just earlier in the pool when I was talking to Cornflake, I don't know if the Westin that FumpFest is happening at even has a pool. I don't remember there being one.
Aerobics Heart.
Yeah.
That's the one we were at at 04.
Well, you know what? Me and Sarah are putting a new bathtub in our house. You can all come over. So I will look into the pool situation there, and if there is one, I'll see if we can make water aerobics happen there. But anyway.
Hey, guy with the Minion shirt, did you need to set something down?
Oh, yes, quite a load. Yes, Thor is here. Bring it up here to the table. That's fine. It's Stephanie's boyfriend, Thor. Yay!
Hey, Thor!
He is bringing back the digitizer, which still isn't open, but at least he was. We were able to get video footage of Dove to show at the memorial last night, which was epic. So
was
thank you,
nice.
Thor.
So the performance 10 years ago was in there?
Yes. No. Well, we showed that there was a footage from MarsCon 2004 of our friend Dove Magie, who passed away very tragically in this past year. We did a memorial to him at the karaoke room because he used to run the karaoke room. And there was footage of him at, like, super way crazy late in the morning, like, deliriously tired, singing the song Unwell by Rob Thomas. And he's dressed in scrubs because the theme was doctors that year.
I was wondering why he was
so, yeah, so he's like, in scrubs, delirious, and just, I'm not crazy, just unwell. And, like, everyone's cracking up just at the absurdity of, like, literally what he's saying having to do with what the situation is and stuff. So Thursday morning, first thing I did when I got up is I looked for all of my Hi8 tapes from every MarsCon and Convergence and brought them here along with the Hi8 camera so that Stephanie could try to find some footage to show of him at the memorial. So that was pretty epic and cool.
We need to get a lot of other footage off of that too.
Yes, yes. Well, that's why I'm glad my parents or my mom got me the digitizer for Christmas.
Yes.
So that I can do that. Okay, we got about another 10 minutes left. I would like to take some more questions from the audience if anybody has any questions. Or
did we ever get internet questions?
Oh yeah, I can look that up.
Okay.
But I, as I said before, did anyone have any, like, favorite moments of all time from Bad Rapport history?
All the times I was on.
Yes.
The Royal Carry Boys.
So, basically, it took that whole me being the, you know, co-chair, releasing the big surprise news to everyone, just took all the wind out of that sail.
Oh, get off your high horse.
I will remain on this high horse because the altitude serves me well!
Yeah,
I am Kenny, and I will tweet things, no matter what they are, to people, and no one is allowed to be mad at me about it.
Is that the official Royal Carry voice?
Yes, that's the Royal Carry voice, of which Bill referred to.
It should be a little more high-pitched.
It could be a little more high-pitched.
Yeah.
I will determine the pitch of the voice of the impersonation of me. If I'm going to be mocked, I shall be mocked properly.
I'm sorry. I am a woman. I weigh 170 pounds, and The cold gets to me a lot more than it did.
Go to the new rules and company. Apparently, Royal Carey has like a retarded Scooby-Doo dog or something.
Fuck off.
Anyway, I do like Noodles and Company.
The snort of subconsciousness.
Yes.
Sorry.
Royal Carey has decreed that your groove shall not be thrown off, and there shall be no burping on the podcast.
That's scary. Yes, I did. Carey requested that I do a caricature of her as a birthday gift for her birthday to go along with the ones I had made of Josh and of Alex. So I drew her as Royal Carey with the caption, Royal Carey holds court.
Yes.
And
wearing a princess dress and tiara and Yeah.
And Alex is next to her as kind of a little prince, and he's commanding Josh, who is dressed as a jester, to sing more funny joke songs.
Yes. And Royal Carey shall now take more questions from the audience. What would you like to ask of the Luke and the Carey at this time?
God. According to the website, there is a pool at the Westin.
Oh, thank you, Bob. Yay! Matthews. Yay! Bob.
Because of Bob, I ate a Chili John's in Burbank for the first time in 11 years. Because of Bob, I saw Monsters University with 40 of my fans and peers. Because of Bob, I found myself on the hook to throw a weekend-long party called Luke's Geek Con. And I spent a lovely Saturday in California catching rays while mowing his back lawn. Because of Bob, I ran into Dino Mike at Not a Burger Stand where we ate our lunches. Because of Bob, I saw the Nerd Melt open mic which had the funny jokes of Mr. Ron Funches. Because of Bob, I sang karaoke with Cornflake until the break of dawn. And I spent a lovely Saturday in California catching rays while mowing his back lawn. Because of Bob, I saw Wesley Willis art in the apartment of MC Lars. Because of Bob, I went to Disneyland and rode that new ride based on Pixar's Cars. Because of Bob, I saw Goofy cutting a rug cheered on by Belle and Mulan. And I spent a lovely Saturday in California catching rays while mowing his back lawn. Because of Bob, Bill and Moonbeam sang the phrase fist pork, their Mad Lib was the source. Because of Bob, I saw a gay robot skeleton, a late night douche, and a pantomime horse. Because of Bob, I was in the same room with Harrison Ford, but he never spoke of Indy or Han. He just talked with Craig Ferguson about flying planes, and oh, I also mowed Bob's back lawn. Because of Bob, I watched Game Grumps and gained Engine Sentai Go on your knowledge. Because of Bob, I learned more about how to animate from TV's Kyle in one day than 4 years in college. Because of Bob, Devo Spice proved performing with a fire alarm blaring is really hard. And I spent a lovely Saturday in California catching rays while mowing his backyard. Ha! Because of Bob, I showed a crowd home movies of my Yankee Doodle Dandy Tap Dance. Because of Bob, I got a free Chipotle meal and Lindsay Smith rocked a mic in a B-boy stand. Because of Bob, I got a MacBook that came with GarageBand on which I composed this song. And I spent a lovely Saturday in California catching rays while mowing his back lawn. Ba 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 ba.
Because of Bob, we know about Funk Fest.
Because of Bob, we now know that the Westin has a really cool
How about any comments from people that have known us for a long time?
Comments? I like you guys. You are awesome.
Comments or funny stories or whatever.
Oh. You guys are funny people.
So I put the word out for questions for episode 100, and Arkel has submitted our only question.
Uh-oh. Here it comes.
Okay. Arkel says, okay, here's my epic question for episode number 100. Why do they call him Silent Bob anyway? Now, for those of you who have seen Lord of the Animated Series, there is a courtroom drama that happens where Randall is going to be the defense attorney, and he's trying to win the case to save Dante from a stupid lawsuit. So he was trying to get Silent Bob on the stand so that he could ask him his court-winning question, why do they call him Silent Bob anyway? But Silent Bob wouldn't speak. But then he just gets up in his final statement and asks the question anyway. So that was your obscure animation references. And for more, go to Kyle and Luke Talk About Toons. Which
Barry's
is that
driving car, how can that be?
KyleandLuke.com for that. And also there's the Fumpcast, which is you can get the link to that at thefump.com. Those are the other two podcasts I do. But Bad Report came first.
Yes, and is most important.
Yes.
It's daytime.
Hey.
You're not recording, are you?
Yes.
Oh, you fucking asshole.
Well, who am I to let a rendition of Stars and Stripes Forever go unlistened to by the general public?
Fucking dick. I was only singing for Alex.
So, there's the puppets. Y'all like to seem to like that stuff when we did it.
all yes. Except for Jared Perez.
Yeah, Jared Perez is I forgot what the term would be, a second unit puppeteer. Would that be it? I don't know. Something like that. He's a. It's like I tend to do the puppeting for whatever the main character is, and then he does, you know, whoever is after that or something. But
yeah. Yeah, he did quite a good job with the Carrie and the Pollen Storm video, and that was before he was doing a lot of puppeting, but now he's doing a lot of puppeting.
He also did Carrie in the end, at the very end of I'd Buy That for a Dollar, and the way that Carrie just pops in and you know, shut up, Ian, and like zips out, it's like, that was exactly what I wanted. That was so perfect. But yeah, so podcasting started out as being something I was so excited to do that I could not wait for the next time we could get together and do another episode. In fact, we posted episode one, and then I ended up doing that gig at the Wisconsin Dells where things went really crazy, and I was like, okay, you know, let's get together. We have to record another episode right away because I'm so excited to tell you the story of how this gig went that, you know, I don't want to wait the 2 weeks. I want to get it out right now. So we put out the second episode a week after the first one. That was how excited I was to do podcasts.
And are you still that excited about podcasting?
Thanks to the FumpFest, the FumpCast, I now consider doing podcasts mainly a big pain in the ass chore.
Yay! I'm a chore.
It rhymes with chore. I love you, Chore. All right, just for that.
Okay.
Here we go. A banana peel has been placed on my head. Therefore, I lose and Carrie wins.
Yay!
Here, wait. You take a picture.
Take the picture. Okay.
Did you get it? Okay.
Carrie, do you want to retract your opening statement about why you like her? Have we seen an end of the friendship just
occur? Well, you know, episode 100 is a good number to go out on.
Well, and that's another thing. You know, going back to the beginning, that's why it's like when I had to come up with the first episode title and stuff, it's like episode, and I put, you know, number sign 001 and then dash into the name of the episode, because I believed at that time that this was going to be around to hit episode 100. That's the only reason it was like 001.
How many years ago? Four?
That was October of 2009.
Wow. So over 4 years ago.
So with this episode, we have achieved the thing that that we have achieved finally what I was always assuming we would.
But we have to die out before 999.
Yes, because if we get to episode 1000, it's going to, you know, screw up the files in everyone's computers because it'll be 1000 and they won't know
it's
how
gonna
to put it in the right order.
It's going to be Y2K all over again.
Yes.
Think of it this way: got 36 years to worry about.
Yes, give or take.
So
Luke and Sarah came over to make curtains, but first we went to Uncle Julio's to observe Luke's birthday, and And then we came over. Then we came back to my house and made curtains, which are still not up. I still haven't even seen them. And I mean, I haven't like seen them in their full glory. I've seen that they exist.
Well, I can help you put them up before I leave.
Well, we don't have an appropriate curtain rod. Josh is trying to say that a curtain rod of that length does not exist, which, you know, this is Josh, so I'm doubtful of this information. But he already installed the thing to put the curtain rod, like the curtain rod holders are already installed. There's just no curtain rod.
Here's my impression of Caveman Josh at sunset. Well, that thing's not coming back.
Oh God!
Oh God! It's astounding that Josh has object permanence. Well, my mom was here, and now I don't see my mom. There's just some hands there. Oh wait, there she is. I was assuming you were never coming back.
Oh my God.
Making fun of your husband while he's in the next room watching your son. Yay.
Oh my God.
We have fun here on Luke and Gary's Bad Report. Any other questions, comments?
Should we end it soon?
Yeah, we should probably end it soon.
How
because...
How on earth do you continue to be so awesome?
Caffeine!
and obviously many of our episodes end up being, or in the past have ended up being, way super long. And we've, you know, recently kind of switched up our format to try to figure out a way to record, you know, multiple episodes at a time, make them shorter episodes, and also have them recorded.
Most non-special episodes should be 90 or less minutes nowadays.
Yeah. And I'm trying to put about, you know, 4 song breaks in that each last about 8 minutes so that, you know, we get a decent chunk of comedy music content. Are there any songs that I've played on Bad Report that you had never heard before that, you know, that were like, oh, that's a really cool band, or that's a really cool tune?
Many, but none come to mind.
Yes, many.
There's one band from England. Have you heard of them?
Oh, yes. Oh.
How can we do this without mentioning Flat 29?
Yes. So, Carrie, talk about Flat 29.
They have a podcast, and they don't have a podcast anymore?
They haven't put one out in a year.
Oh, but they're not officially dead, though.
They put out the America episode they recorded last year at MarsCon, and I think they may have done, like, one episode after that, but one of them got married and has a baby, and I've heard that having babies can reduce your podcast production schedule.
Yes, I don't know why. And it also reduces your podcast consumption schedule. So, yes, Flat 29, they live in England, and they are funny, and we love
them. And Carrie was just doing searches on iTunes for, you know, comedy music and podcasts, and she found Flat 29's Big Book of Everything, and she said, you have to listen to these guys, and then I did.
I didn't think I was doing a search. I think it just popped up on iTunes as, you might enjoy this.
Ah, cool.
But,
I saw you looking over at me.
Yeah.
I can't say I'm surprised.
No, no.
Checking out my guns, rock hard abs, and my sexy thighs.
You know,
when it comes to sex, well, I'm the expert, baby. Cause I once saw a jarring of a naked lady. Yeah. I may have failed sex education, don't care about the birds and the bees. Cause I'm the king of consummation, I think that you'll agree.
He likes to think that he's a Casanova, but don't you let his bragging win you over, oh no.
For making love, he ain't got the knack, completely clueless in the sack. When it comes to loving, I'm the perfect gent,
but he's sexually incompetent.
Now don't listen to them, I know what I'm doing in the bedroom. I've seen a video on it twice. Now let me tell you about the moves that I got. Cause girl, I'm pretty sure that I could find you J-spot. And I heard about a position called a 68.
It was a 69 until he put on some weight.
Girl, do you wanna come back to mine for some light M&S? That's where we stand in the middle of a posh supermarket and get undressed. I tip past the sauces all over our bits. Start hitting each other with walnut whips. And baby, I can show you my doggy style if you come with me to the pet food aisle.
He likes to get kinky, and within the hour, he'll invite you back to his for a golden shower.
A golden bath is what I was told. Took weeks to fill, but it just got cold.
He likes to think that he's a Casanova, but don't you let his bragging win you over. Oh no.
For making love, he's got no idea. Want oral sex, then watch your ears.
I give my lover 110%,
but he's sexually incompetent.
Rich, I'm gonna have to stop you there. We've just got an email come through from a lovely lady you might know.
Dear Rich, great to meet you last night, and I'm not normally quite so forthright, but the moment I saw you on the dance floor, I couldn't help wanting more. So we went back to mine for a couple of beers, and about that time things got a bit weird. We got undressed, and I was impressed until you started rubbing cooking oil into your chest. All greased up like a Chippendale hunk, and waving it around like an elephant's trunk. A striptease doesn't mean call me names, we were both losers in your sex games. This carried on for a minute or two, until you stopped and inquired, was it good for you? Darling, you were the perfect gent, but you're sexually incompetent.
He likes to think that he's a Casanova, but don't you let his bragging win you over, oh no.
For making love, he ain't got no clue, he genuinely doesn't know what to do.
I've always got the best intent,
but he's sexually incompetent.
So, ladies, anyone wanna get my number? No? Okay, email? How about fax? You got fax? Pager number? Send me an MMS. Send me an SMS. Meet me an MMS.
What's Luke vlogging now?
Hey everyone, it's Luke. I'm back from MarsCon. Oh man, I'm still kind of tearing things down, putting things away, wrapping up the work that is MarsCon, including editing episode 100 of Luke and Gary's Bad Rapport. Oh man. So anyway, plugging stuff. I will do some plugging of stuff right now. This is not nearly as organized as it usually is, so if I forget some things, just, you know, message me and remind me. I'll be sure to include them next time if it relates to you. The most important thing I want to plug right now is that, in a manner of speaking, I have a new album out which you can purchase. It is called Because of Bob, Luke Ski's Kickstarter FOM album, Songs I Wrote About People for Money. This is available on both CD and MP3 at lukeski.bandcamp.com. When I say MP3, basically you can pick MP3, Wave, or a bunch of different audio version, so it's really your choice, but saying MP3 is just shorthand, whatever. The point is, digitally. You can get it digitally for $4.99, or you can get the physical CD for $5.99 plus shipping. Now, I only did a run of 30 of these so that I could fulfill my Kickstarter obligations to those people who I did songs about on the album, and to give a few for other people that helped me. So I had some left at MarsCon, and some of those sold to people. I put the rest up at my Bandcamp site. So right now there are 8 physical CD copies left of Because of Bob. And I do not know whether or not I will ever reprint this album physically. I might want to do it for FrumpFest. I might want to do it for Gen Con Indie. That's a prerogative I will leave up to myself in the future. But for the immediate moment, I'm not intending to make more of these. So if you're the type of Lukeski fan who wants to own a physical CD copy of everything I've ever done, then I highly suggest you go to lukeski.bandcamp.com and order the physical CD version of Because of Bob, which comes with the digital download, of whatever type of thing you want. So you'll still get the digital version anyway, for a buck more plus shipping. So, you can go do that. Because of Bob, Lukeski's Kickstarter FOM album, songs that I wrote about people for money, all 9 of my FOM songs about various people, with track 10 being Luke, Are You Carrie, performed live at LukeskiCon 2013. In this episode, you've already heard Because of Bob, The Legend of Wildcard, and Blasted Bill and Moonbeam's Pot of Destiny, all 3 of which mention Moonbeam. So, you know, feel special, Moonbeam. So, yeah, there we go. That's that. Lukeski.bandcamp.com. Because of Bob. You can even just go there and listen to the whole thing for free. That's the way the internet works. Alright, other things to mention. FumpFest. Yes, MarsCon is over. Let's start hammering the hell out of promoting FumpFest, shall we? The most important thing I can tell you right now is that besides going there and purchasing a badge, which you should do before the end of this month, because right now it is... Yeah, I'm tired. Right now it's $35 for the weekend. It will be $45 for the weekend after... April 1st. So you have until April 1st to buy a badge. Get it for $35 for the weekend at FumpFest.com. Also, go to the hotel page there. You can make your hotel room reservation. And Devo has a minimum number of hotel rooms he needs to have people stay in to have them give him the convention space for free. Otherwise, he's going to have to pay a huge amount of money to cover that convention space. Deb, I'm yawning again. I'm sorry. He's already at about 60-something percent for these rooms for the reservations, and that's great, but he needs more. He needs to get all the way the rest of the way. So, go to the hotel page at FumpFest.com. It'll give you the link to make that reservation online. And remember, if you want to show up a day early or stay a day late and make it, you know, more of a full-on week that you're, you know, doing something or whatever's convenient for you, you can do that. And when you do that through that link, or if you call them up and make that same reservation, telling them you're with FumpFest, those extra days will count towards this goal. So it's something we all hope you'll do. All right, other random things to mention. New episodes of Kyle and Luke Talk About Tunes. I can't remember where we left off the last time I did an episode, but, you know, episodes 10 and 11 have posted recently. Episode 11 is a conversation about Saturday morning cartoons. I'm yawning. I can't stop myself. Saturday Morning Cartoons of the 1980s is episode 11, and we're going to continue with that discussion with the 90s in episode 12, but that's not out just yet. That'll be out this Sunday. So, KyleandLuke.com, search for us on iTunes, whatever. It's awesome. It's fun. You can leave us comments and stuff. Please request the song Fake Adult by me, the great Lukeski, for the Dr. Demento Show. It was number 7 on the top 10 of February of 2014. Which is really cool. So please put another request for it, and hopefully he'll make the top 10 for the month of March and continue to be a hit on the Dr. Demento Show. And, of course, you should listen to the Dr. Demento Show at drdemento.com, drdemento.com. I'll talk more about Dr. Demento and Meet Warp Studios and stuff in the next episode when we recap MarsCon. But another convention I should be mentioning, of course, well, it's, I don't know if they officially consider it a convention for this year, but it's at least an event. Chi-Fi Zero is happening in Chicago. Chi-Fi, that would be chi-fi.org, if I'm remembering correctly. It is March 29th, a Saturday. I'm doing a concert there at 6 p.m. Takes place in the Monroe Room, and I'll also be helping with the FumpFest fan table there and taking registrations. So, there's Chi-Fi. MarsCon Dementia SmackDown Wrestling video by Jared Perez has been posted, featuring our commentary live at MarsCon. It was such a hoot, you won't believe who the final 3 are wrestling for Supremacy. It's excellent. So go look that up on YouTube. Look for Dementia SmackDown Wrestling. MarsCon 2014 Battle Royal. Search for it at YouTube, you'll find it. I appeared on the Pros and Cons podcast
with TV's Kyle talking about February Album Writing Month. So go to pros and cons. blogspot.com or just Google it. I'm so freaking tired. I can't even think straight. Pros and Cons Podcast. Google it. Find it. Me and Kyle were on there recently and it was neat. I appeared on Tony Goldmark's video series called Some Jerk with a Camera. His episode about when the ABC sitcoms went to Disneyland. It's the last in the story arc of covering, reviewing all those episodes. I make an appearance at the end, and it's pretty cool. So go to blip.tv and search for Some Jerk with a Camera. And look for ABC Goes to Disneyland. And then finally, I think I mentioned this last time, but I am one of the jurors for the 2014 Logan Awards. So if you would like to suggest a song from a comedy song from 2013 that you think deserves an award, go to loganawards.com, click on the open nomination link and suggest a song. If you look on the comments for episode 99 of this podcast, I posted a big list of songs that I thought were certainly worthy. I can't suggest any myself because I'm a juror, but if you were looking for some inspiration for some songs to put on the list for potential nomination, you can go check out that first comment on episode 99 of Bad Report. That's all I'm going to cover for right now because, like I said, my brain is fried. I can barely think. I need to write an email update, but I didn't want to take the time to do that now. I wanted to get the episode finished first so I can get it posted ASAP because I have a lot of other things to do and to clean up and to put away and to... Oh, man. Anyway, shout out to everybody who was at MarsCon. It was so much fun. It was, probably the best MarsCon ever. Meatboard was there, Dr. Demento was there, Henry Phillips was there. So much fun was had. We can continue it at FumpFest, FumpFest.com, like I said before, everybody. And one more time, because of Bob, the album is now at lukeski.bandcamp.com. 8 CDs left. Order yours now if you want to get one, because there's no guarantee that I'll make any more beyond that. All right, and now let's wrap up this episode, monumental episode number 100 of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. Here we go.
I see everybody's doing that, like, twitchy thing where they're like, I kind of want to go do something else now, but I don't want to be rude. So we should probably end.
All right. Well, when I edit this episode and put it up, I'm probably going to include some kind of classic era clips of moments from the past and stuff. Oh, by the way, let's give a shout out to the guys who are doing the amazing spreadsheet of every song I've ever played on Bad Rapport with the detailed information. That would be, I think, Goofy Gary, O'Nib, Sean Ennis. But the fact that they, do all that work to help making the show and other things in my life so much easier is so super appreciated. Let's give them a round of applause.
Yay!
So.
Thank you for continuing to find us tolerable, and we hope to continue to be tolerable for at least 20 or 25 more episodes.
Yes. So, until next time, I'm Luke.
And I'm Carrie.
And this has been Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, episode 100.
Yay! 100.
Carry Luke.
Well, Ken, get over here. You have to carry Luke over to the next room so that.
I'm not going to carry Luke.
I carried one person. I'm not going to carry another.
I am not going to carry Luke. All right.
Funny joke. We'll be right back.
there is no one to blame. But a leaving ground, a leaving ground, things never be the same again. It's a final countdown. The final countdown. Oh, it is for Venus. And so we stand tall. Cause maybe they've seen us and welcome us all. So many light years to go. Things to be found, to be found. So bad we all miss a show. It's a final countdown. The final countdown. The final.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Ladies and gentlemen of the court, why the hell is he called Silent Bob anyway?
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.